In the parable of the unforgiving servant, who is the lesson aimed at? That's what we're going to discover in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm glad you've decided to join us because this week we kicked off a new series on parables, and it's really exciting, especially if you've ever felt confused about some of Jesus's teaching. Today we're going to look at the parable of the unforgiving servant, and I think you'll be surprised at what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar uncover. Let's go right to them in the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm Bob.
And we're going through a series on the parables of Jesus. And if you want to listen to the previous episodes of the series, please go to iTunes and subscribe to Grace in Focus or go to our website, faithalone.org. And we'd really encourage you to subscribe and to review the show. Give us a review on iTunes. So far, we have a perfect 5-star review, and I love to keep that going. And, of course, you can listen to us here on this station and just tune in next time as we appear Monday through Friday. Well, the parable of the unforgiving servant, a lot of the other parables have to do with eschatology, study of the end times, right? What we should expect in the future, what the kingdom's going to be like in the future. But not all the parables are about that. Some of them have straightforward moral application to this life.
And in this one, the setup to it is the disciples are wondering how many times they need to forgive those who sin against them.
And we all know the rule is two, right? First time is shame on you. And the second time, if you do something again, that's shame on me.
Shame
and the third time,
me.
you just knock them down, lay them out. Right?
Yeah, that's right. No, we're going to see here that we're to be learning from God. That God forgives us much, therefore we should forgive much. And we also need to learn that what we need to forgive in the scope of things is pretty small compared to what we've already been forgiven.
All right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 18, and this is starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?"
He's more generous
than I am.
Not two.
I was going to give two, but
seven.
He's saying seven.
Seven.
Jesus can't possibly ask for more than seven
times. Oh, yes,
seven
yes,
times
he
a person
can.
Does
yes,
the same thing can. To you again and again and again?
Yep.
Let's see what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven."
Yeah, that's 490, but he doesn't
so
literally
490
mean
is the limit.
490. No, he's just saying, basically, as long as the person genuinely repents from what they've done to you, then keep forgiving him.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So is this about what life is going to be like in the kingdom, or is that about life now?
No, I think it's about life now. And the king would represent God, and the servant, the first servant he looks at, would represent a believer. In both the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Lou Barbieri wrote the commentary in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and also Hal Haller wrote the commentary in the Grace New Testament Commentary. They both take this as referring to believers, that this first servant represents a believer, and that the issue is not something after this life, but it's judgment he reaps in this life.
All right, so therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So there's more than one servant. Verse 24, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which is a crazy amount of money.
It's hard for us to grasp this, but let me lay this out. A talent is somewhere around 66 pounds. Mm-hmm. So if this was gold, you're looking at a number close to $1 billion. Mm-hmm. If it's silver, you're looking at somewhere like $100 million. A huge amount. The kind of debt that almost nobody could repay.
Right. So this one servant, he's deep into it, and there's just no way he can repay this debt.
And this servant, as some of the commentators mention, is probably a royal official.
Uh-huh.
Probably one of the people, like his finance minister, that's really high up, and he's basically gone bankrupt.
Right. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So because of the father's debt, the whole family is going to go into slavery.
Right.
To pay back.
And some of the commentators mention that our sinful actions have an effect on the entire family. And I think that is part of the point of this. However, as we're going to see, the king, representing the Lord here, forgives this debt. It's amazing.
Right. I was looking at buying. I don't know how people afford new cars, Bob. I really do not. The kind of car that I'm looking at starts at $30,000, which is a crazy amount of money for me. But a lot of them are like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I don't know how anyone can afford that car. But if I took out a loan for a car like that, which I could not really pay on a monthly basis, and let's say I forfeited the debt, that's going to affect my kids.
Right.
Because they're going to take the car away. Maybe they'll take the house away. I don't know what they would take away from me. But it's not just me I'm getting into trouble. It's my whole family.
Exactly.
So we all know that from our common experience. The same is true for sin.
Oh, absolutely. When we are involved in sin, it has ramifications. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and the sins of my parents had an impact on me and the other children. And that's why they have a whole ministry today called ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics.
Right.
And they, all kinds of literature, I've read a lot of it. You know, the scriptures are clear there. The sins of the father are passed to the third and the fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the types of things that our parents struggle with, we tend to struggle with.
Right. Verse 26, so then the servant, faced with being sold into slavery with his entire family, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. So he didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you time to pay this back. He just forgave him the debt.
Right. The man never would have been able to pay it back, but he could have recouped some of his losses, but instead he forgives it all. And basically, I think what we should see here is that when we come to faith in Christ, all of our past sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some sense, our future sins are also forgiven, but in a fellowship sense, our future sins are not yet forgiven. That's why 1 John 1:9 applies. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start the Christian life, we start with a clean slate. All of our past sins are forgiven, so we start in fellowship with God. And I think that's what this is looking at. This man is now in fellowship with the king. His debts are all forgiven.
But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii.
Okay, now that 1 denarii was approximately, well, it was one day's wages. So in today's amount, it might be somewhere like $50, $60 for a day laborer, something like that. It, maybe this would be equivalent to like $8,000, $10,000 today. So compared to a $100 million debt,
so like
$10,000 is chump change.
Basically 3 months of paychecks.
Right.
This guy owes.
And so really it's a very small debt.
And so he laid a hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. The exact same words that he just said to the king.
Right. And but he doesn't respond like the king responds.
Right. So you would think, okay, he just got forgiven like $100 million or $1 billion. He's going to take it easy on this guy. Right?
No.
No, verse 30. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow. Talk about just being totally blind to what just happened to you and just being insensitive.
Right.
This guy did not learn any moral lesson from being forgiven that entire debt.
Right. You know, we can do this with our own spouse.
Yeah.
We can do this with our own family members. We can say, oh, I'm not talking to him or her. You know, you have brothers and sisters that don't talk for years. I have a friend, one of his children hasn't talked to him in over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't seen his grandchildren on that side over 10 years because one of the in-laws said, we're not having anything to do with your parents anymore.
Wow.
So for over 10 years, he's had no contact. Basically, what happened is, it's kind of like this, we're not going to forgive.
Right, right, absolutely.
That has very negative consequences, not only on my friend and his wife, but on the son, the daughter, and the grandkids.
Right. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and told the master all that had been done. So these other servants are like, this guy who you just forgave $1 billion, just put this other guy into prison for like, you know, $10,000 debt.
And I think this would be like other people in our church who know we have not forgiven someone else in the church. Let's say I've got some sort of a dispute with another brother or sister in my church, and I don't forgive them some small amount,
mm-hmm.
but someone else in the church has forgiven me some huge amount.
Yeah.
It would obviously upset everyone else in the church.
Right. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So it's like, oh, yeah, let me just pick up those pieces of the debt that I just tore up, and I'm going to tape them together again, and here you go. You're going to pay all of this.
Yeah, and Plummer, in his commentary on Matthew, has some good comments here. He says, we tend to think of big sins as things like sexual sins or murder or kidnapping, right?
Right.
But he says, we don't tend to think of unforgiveness as some sort of a grievous sin.
Right.
We don't think of being unforgiving as a major sin. And yet here, he says, this is very important for us to recognize this is a huge sin.
Yeah. So Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So Peter just asked, remember, Peter asked, how often should I forgive people? And this is Jesus' answer. You better forgive people as many times as it takes. Otherwise, my Father's going to do this. Well, send you to the torturers? What does that mean?
Sending to the torturers, if you look in the Grace New Testament commentary, Hal Haller says this is transparently looking at serious judgment in this life, temporal judgment. I think the point is this. If you have someone who has sinned against you, you need to forgive that person if they are repentant. If they're coming to you and they're asking you for forgiveness, then you are to forgive them. And if you don't, you are going to reap serious consequences in this life, which will have an impact on your family and those around you. We need to be forgiving people. We've been forgiven much, therefore we should forgive much. And we need to realize that unforgiveness is a grievous sin. It's a major sin. May we, of all people who know that we have everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins, may we be the most forgiving people on earth.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion on what the parable of the unforgiving servant really means. It's important to know who the lesson is directed at, and we find out in this one that it's directed at believers who ought to be forgiving. Well, you might want to go deeper on subjects like the ones you hear on this radio show. If that's the case, I'm going to encourage you to do what Sean asked you to do, which was get subscribed to the podcast. We have two ways to listen to this radio show. You can listen to us on the radio in cities like Pensacola, Mobile, Scranton, Shreveport, or Albuquerque, and some others. Maybe you just discovered us on the radio and you'd like to go back and listen to previous episodes. Well, you can do that by listening to us in a digital format. You can get subscribed to our digital podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn and searching for Grace in Focus. Another way to get subscribed to our podcast is to go directly to our website, faithalone.org. You'll find the episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources on the website, and we would love for you to take advantage of them. Maybe you've got questions, comments, or feedback. If that's the case, I'm going to give you our email address so you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about the parable of Jesus that we sometimes call the day laborers in the vineyard. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.